You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Professor Juliana Bruno. She explores the intersection of architecture, the visual arts, and film, and teaches at Harvard University. We'll be talking today about her recent book, Surface, Matters of Aesthetics, Materiality, and Media. Juliana, thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk about this book, Surface, Matters of Aesthetics, Materiality, and Media. Fascinating book, and I know that you've been exploring issues like this for quite a while. But tell us a little bit about that book, I think, to talk about what Surface means across media and a little bit how you explore so many different media and why that's important for visual culture today.
Okay. Yes, the book was, in a sense, written to defy an assumption or even a prejudice that surfaces are superficial. When you want to say something negative about somebody or something, you say superficial. But why such negativity? In a way, the most important things in art and in life happen on the surface. So I was curious to explore this idea, and because the surface is, in fact, the face of things, the pellicule, the skin that surrounds us, the place where history and experience are manifested and inscribed. It's a kind of like our primary form of habitation. And also, every single art form deals with surface. It's the basis of any artistic expression. So surface is an important concept. It matters. It's a place of connection and a place of mediation. Let me just give you some examples of why surface matters and what kind of surfaces are involved for me and the surfaces that I talk about in the book. Well, the primary form of habitation, the primary surface is the skin. So the skin is the membrane that envelops our body. It's this membrane that also defines the relation between inside and outside. And it's our primary form of communication. The surface of the skin is a mean of contact. And I like the idea that there's tact in this contact. So it's a form of communication that's very tactile and very often, obviously, very sensual, because that's how we encounter ourselves, people around us, the object of everyday life that we touch, but also, I would argue, the artworks that we confront, because we not only look at things, we touch them, and we touch them with our eyes as well as with our hands. So this is a very, very important surface, the surface of the body and the surface of the body and the way in which it relates to the face of things and also of the artworks themselves. And then there is a second envelope, which is clothing. The second envelope that we construct around our skin that never leaves us, with which we define ourselves. Fashion is a surface and deals with textile and textures and many different issues of fabric and surface. And it's also a social fabric. So the idea of a fabric and a surface also is something that extends to the notion of identity, how we define ourselves, how we in a sense express ourselves, how we present ourselves to the world, what clothing, what fashion says about who we are, both individually but also socially and sometimes ethnically as well. So this surface is, in fact, has many depths, and it's not superficial in the least. It contains different kinds of layers of expression as well as of history. And then there is the surfaces that are dealt with in the art forms, and I'm talking in particular about canvases, the way in which the canvases of paintings or the surfaces of paper or photography or the surfaces of the screen that's around us are, in a sense, dealing with yet another form of fabric, another form of material expression that is the support of the image. And then the canvas, from canvases to the surfaces of the walls that envelop us. It's the third envelope in many ways, from skin to fashion to walls. So architecture is in fact yet another place, along with the art forms, that deals very much with the expression of surfaces. The surface of the walls, not only, but the face and the facade, the relation between how the skin, in a sense of buildings that we live within, defines the expression of our urban environment, our urban culture. And last but not least, the surfaces of the screens. That's one of the most important surfaces that I talk about in the book, for we are, in a sense, now surrounded by this. The surface of the screen is no longer something that is only in the movie theater, but it has exited the movie theater to enter the art gallery and also project on buildings. We look at the surface of the screen every day on our computers, on our iPhones, on our iPads. So in a way, we are living in an environment of surfaces, in an environment of screens that are surfaces and surfaces that are screens. So how to really avoid, you know, thinking about this huge change that has happened, and the way in which also, to my mind, these particular surfaces are not disconnected one from the other. On our screens, in a sense, we put ourselves in touch, like with the skin of our body, with other people. So the surface is here really a place of communication, a place of connection, a place of mediation. So for me, the surface is a zone of admixture and a zone of transmission, really, of different kinds of modes. The other reason why I'm interested in the surface, which comes out of how I want to connect together skin to canvas to wall to clothing to skin to screen, is because we tend to look at all of these art forms or spatial forms as separate. There is art history, there is the history of architecture, there is the history and theory of film, and there is fashion. And all of these are disciplines, and they don't always are put in touch or communicate. To my mind, to think about surfaces is to answer, you know, one of the questions you asked, which is to change the way in which we think of visual studies, is to make it so that there is really a form of connection and communication that is very material and very conceptual at the same time, that connects together all of these disciplines. I mean, if we think about it, the body, fashion, architecture, painting, photography, and cinema all share surfaces. And so surface is, in fact, a way of encounter. And I want to link all of these disciplines and all of these fields together that have been considered separate by way of connecting together in surface encounters. And by talking about different kinds of meeting places, zones of encounter and admixtures, and how also, to my mind, these mediums are increasingly being transformed as their surfaces transform, and also how their surfaces transform them and how they put them in touch altogether, which I like to call the surface tension of media.
It's fascinating. You know, it brings to mind so many things. I'd like to talk about the work of James Turrell, which I know you have touched on, but also as you talk about it, it reminds me of my first experiences of art, which in some ways were about the surface, that were something I couldn't do. I was with my parents. We were in Spain. I was 15. We're looking at El Greco paintings. And without thinking, I reached forward to touch the collar of, you know, those Elizabethan collars. And of course, you know, the guard stopped me and everybody got upset. But there was something so extraordinary about that surface. It was as though I couldn't believe it was real and had to touch it to believe that it wasn't real. With James Turrell, of course, we're talking about an artist where we can't really understand where the surface begins and ends. Mm-hmm. Is that how does that fit into? That seems like an expanded version of what surface means, because we're kind of immersed in something as opposed to what we can discern as a surface.
Absolutely, and you really, you know, cut to the essence of the way in which I also, by way of talking about surface as a kind of as an environment rather than rather than an object. I wanted to change the idea itself of a surface, because I'm interested in the sense of being enveloped within it, or creating an environment that itself is about being within and inhabiting a surface. So surfaces of light are a very important part of this book, and three chapters are devoted to it, and the work of James Turrell is put in touch with other artists like Anthony McCall. I mean, people don't think of light as a surface, and I thought that was a big mistake. And when you talk about El Greco, you know, it also made me feel like those clouds, you know, the evanescent immateriality, in a way, of this material immateriality that comes together as something that really wants to touch, as well as being so, in a sense, evanescent. So through surface, I also want to explore this idea of the relation between materiality and immateriality, and also talk about the surface of light or mist and haze, and the surface as an atmosphere that creates a space, or how the surface creates a space. And so for Turrell, it's really about the idea of light itself becoming almost a palpable environment, a surface within which we live, and it changes perceptually as we move through it. And I was also very interested in Turrell's, in a sense, use of the screen, of defying this kind of place that is sometimes an architecture that you can enter into. Sometimes it's a whole. Sometimes it's in a sense something that doesn't exist but appear to our senses as if it was actually there as a material. So I was interested in how, by creating surfaces of light and making them so materially present and evanescent, he allows us even to think about the relation between canvas, wall, and screen. Here is one artist that, in a sense, is dealing with all of these three different ideas and defying them in many ways. When you walk in some of his pieces, sometimes you would see something that looks like the frame of a window, but sometimes it's a wall. And some other times you bump up against it and you think, in fact, there's nothing there. So it's a piece of void. And at the same time, very often these are screens, because the light emerges out of it, creating a kind of cinema out of this relation between the fabric of the wall and the surface of the screen. So in many ways, it also makes me think of the screens as material objects, and makes me think of this particularly important surface of modernity, which is the luminous material surface of the screen, and how it has defined our way of perception ever since the magic lantern shows or Phantasmagoria, all the way to artists like James Turrell or Anthony McCall, that in many ways are putting together the very essential aspects of projection, of the projection of light as a surface, and dealing with particles, making them almost sculptural at times, making them solid, making you really literally want to touch them the same way in which you wanted to touch the paintings of El Greco. So to think about this also made me think about, in a sense, the archaeology of the screen surface, you know, how this white material of projection, where all our histories, all our images, all our forms of representation for over a century have been absorbed and ingrained and are given back to us. I mean, where does it come from? We rarely think about it by itself. You know, we think about the images that are projected onto canvases, onto walls, onto screens, but we don't think about the support of the image. We don't think about the fabric of the screen itself, you know, as an object. And artists like James Turrell are, in a sense, making us redefine the existence of this material object, and also make me think of the history. I was very struck, you know, by the fact that what we now understand as a screen, which is the kind of a surface that onto which we project luminous images, was actually an element that came from the world of architecture. And once I discovered it, it made perfect sense to me, because most of the artists that I'm interested in that use surfaces of light and luminous projections are doing architecturally and are making this into a material object that makes you think about how it itself connects, mediates, and transfers. So the word screen came out of a late medieval, so way, way before cinema was invented, expression, and a kind of proto-Germanic word, scrim, that has transferred, interestingly enough, into the English screen, but also into the Italian schermo, or the French écran. So it's a kind of a matrix that, in a way, has traveled around different culture. And the screen, the word itself, came out in the Renaissance as to define a piece of architecture. The screen was a partition. It was very often a frame that was covered with paper or sometimes with fabric, and they were stretched out on a frame, and it was used to filter light. So you would talk about a screen as something that you could put in front of a window to screen the light, to project the light. And at the same time, you know, like in the Torrell environments, to create an environment, because when you screen and project light, you create a different kind of surface, you create an ambience, you are immersed in a different form of superficial atmosphere. So in an interesting way, the work of Torrell really reminds me of the whole history of the screen as this form of passage of light, as this form of perceptual and material construction of a different environment of light. The screen was also used in front of fireplace as a fire screen, again, in a sense, to conceal, to protect, but also at the same time to create, through the light that comes out of the fire, a different form of atmosphere. And then for many centuries, from the Renaissance on, this was really the understanding of the screen. It also became an object in the home. It was we still use it, you know, in Japanese culture. The Japanese screen, for example, is in fact a wooden, sometimes a frame, that onto which paper or fabric is stretched and very often illuminated by light, because the light filters through the Japanese screens, and sometimes you even have them decorated with images. So I kept thinking, wow, this is really the beginning of cinema. It comes out of architecture, it comes out of ornament, it comes out of decoration, and most importantly, about passages of light and the creation of atmospheres of projection and superficial immersion in these atmospheres of projection. So the screen was also something that mediated between inside and outside, because when you put it on a window, it defined what's inside and outside, and mediated between zones of habitation. Japanese screen defines zones of habitation. You really define the space that you live in by the screens. And very often, screens were also used to create privacy and intimacy, or to connect the public to the private. So even in that particular understanding, I thought the surface of the screen is such a rich, moment of mediation, because even when you think about how it transferred to cinema or to moving image installation art today, this is really a place of mediation between interior and exterior, between social and public space, a place that creates what I like to call public intimacy, which was the title of one of my previous books. So you really have this very rich history of this surface that has layers and histories of memory that have transferred into our current understanding of what a screen is. So it took a number of centuries, and only in the 19th century, after all of this architectural and artistic understanding of the function of the screen as an object, as a thing, as a form of material culture, as a piece of surface materiality that created luminous passages and environments of perceptual materiality, the screen arrived at defining what we now understand to be a screen, a place for the transition of luminous images, of a site of projection, surface of projection. So it first started defining magic lanterns. So again, you know, in a sense, not disconnected to some of the contemporary artists' use of this, you know, who announced the very, very material and expressive form of light, and how light by itself, you know, can create light and shadows, can create very, very, very sort of very powerful experiences of perception. Magic lantern used light, but also phantasmagoria. Gregorius really worked with light and shadows and with entire environments of perceptions. So I see, in a way, in this pre-filmic expression of the screen, much of a connection with the way in which we have arrived today with the use of projection screens by many artists to use performances of light to really create this kind of phantasmagoria of superficial immersion out of which you cannot escape. You know, you're sort of immersed within it. You're not looking at it. You're looking through it. You're inside of it. So, and that, to me, is quite important because the surface of the screen, like any surfaces, does not allow for distance. You are embodying it, you're embedded in it, you're inhabiting it, as you're inhabiting a piece of architecture, so you become a part of it. So I was really, you know, interested in this whole history of how the screen evolved over the course of time from this particular environment to the kind of materiality of immateriality of light projected forms that we see becoming more and more evident, you know, as in the art galleries and in the museums today, as well as in cinema.
Well, and we also see, of course, the screen of the computer, which is, you know, in a way seems not nearly as sensual or as rich, and that's the screen that so much of us talk about looking at, the screen of the phone, the screen of a tablet or iPad. How do you think this also interacts with culture? There was one curator that I was talking to from the Whitney Museum, Christy Isles, who said,
Oh, yes. You know,
I tell people never look at, you know, judge a piece of art by an image on a screen because these JPEGs are shrunken. But of course, she has to do that, and everybody must assess to some degree art. We research art by comparing images on a computer. That seems to be a modern screen that's brought so much of that together. That's also changing the way we're looking at visual culture, isn't it?
Yes, no, I mean, that's absolutely the case. I mean, think about the fact that the screen that used to be in the cinema, something that you set at a distance in front of, that was rectangular, that you couldn't touch. Although from the very beginning of the cinema, there were fantasies about entering or projecting yourself into the screen or tearing it apart or touching it or connecting people together through this membrane. So I think it's really always been there. And now in some form, you know, the screen has become really an environment, and it's really something that that has redefined the way in which we communicate, the way in which we look at objects. But I don't, you know, I don't want to buy necessarily the logic that because they can be touched, they are touchable. I think there is a difference. You know, I actually find, in a sense, the screens of Terrell or Anthony McCall's or Isaac Julian or many of the artists I talk about in the book to be much more rich. You know, it's not a literal function. I mean, to my mind, the screen functions as a form of mediation and connection when it is articulated as such, when it becomes really a rich form of interaction rather than simply, you know, a series of window opened up or something that you can scroll. I mean, that's nice. I mean, it does remind us of the idea of where the screen comes from. It was, in a sense, the first movies, to my mind, were Japanese scrolls. So I always liked the thought that you can sort of, you know, scroll through the images, and it's extremely useful and helpful. But to me, the most interesting thing is when this is articulated, you know, so it's not enough to have the technology. And to my mind, the technology is neither good or bad. It's how artists employ it and what they do with it, and also how we deal with it in our everyday life. So to me, this is interesting when I see artists that deal with digital images that are not stopping at the idea that the digital image that is not indexical. You know, a lot of people have talked about, oh, with this, you know, with these screens, we have lost the indexicality, the traces of time and history. Now everything is numerical. I'm not really interested in this. I actually think that it depends how you use your medium and how you push it. And interestingly enough, I see, you know, the more people talk about the loss of physicality or the loss of indexicality and virtuality with these digital screens, the more I see, in fact, almost a reaction, you know, something coming out of the arts that wants to reassert forms of materiality, but not as a nostalgic form. This is important to me. You know, it's not like, oh, let's negate, let's be Luddite and negate what's happening and go back to some kind of imaginary form where all of this existed. No, it's rather taking the technologies and pushing it and seeing what kind of symptom of the culture it is and how it can be defied and what kind of new forms of experimental expressions can be found. So what I think is that, in a sense, to think about the surface of the screen as a material object and to think about how the surface of the screen allows us for relations between media, how we can connect together all these media, creates new forms of expression. So the fact that you don't no longer have to separate between a photograph, a moving image, a computer screen, or a piece of canvas makes you actually want to really think about the specificity of the mediums and the materials and the materiality of the medium that you're dealing with. That's interesting, you know, to me, when, in a sense, you're reflecting upon the materiality of the medium and the history itself of the mediums that you're dealing with, that's interesting. So in terms of the surface of the screen, you know, when artists are, in a way, thinking about how to use it and how to think about how this is kind of absorbs all history. Now, the other thing I'm interested in, and that's been enhanced with the digital, is that to me the surface is an archive. You know, think about the white material surface of the screen, how many images it has absorbed over the course of centuries. It's almost as if within its surface materiality, the stains of time are visible. You know, you see them like as textures. And in some way then to think about how, in a sense, through this digital screen, we have entrusted our archive, and not just literal, you know, not because we store everything on it, but how, in a sense, to make it so that this idea of the surface as an archive can have a different life, a life outside celluloid, outside indexicality in different kinds of ways. So to think about all of these connections between historicity and materiality, how porous and connective this surface is, what forms of intimacy can be created through it, you know, making use of the history of surfaces as places of memory, as traces of history, as places that absorb the stain of time. I mean, like the surface of, not only the surface of the screen, it's like the surface of our face. I like the fact that we say surface, you know, that that is on the face, a primary surface, the lines are a map of our history. It absorbs our story. It express affects. So this is the surface that I'm talking about as a screen surface that in a way replicates and extends this particular function of communication, of also of the depository and repository of memory and of history. And if that particular surface contains a depth, then it is really something that can then create in some way different layers and forms of expression. I see it happening also in painting. You know, I see it happening in many different places when artists are, at the moment in which everything is to a certain extent considered flat, are in fact experiencing the levels of depth and volume that exist in the surface, the layers, and so forms of texturality. You know, there's texture emerging everywhere. It's almost as if there was a kind of, the more we have less and less access to this capacity, the more artists are pushing in the direction of a form of materiality, of texture that makes you really feel the fabric of the medium that they're working with and pushing the form in such a way as to showing the different kinds of fabrications and layers that exist within it. You know, the other thing is that there's always a junction when the digital emerge. You know, previous forms like cinema are to a certain extent fading away. But you know, people talked about the death of cinema in relation to the emergence of these digital screens, but that's really not happened. Nothing, you know. People talked about the death of the novel or the death of architecture. It's just a transformation. And in fact, at the moment of transition, in a sense, when a medium has explored a particular path, then other paths can emerge. So another, you know, interesting thing that I see happening with artists that use digital screens or materials of this form is that they're actually very interested in the materiality of the filmic form, in the form of obsolescence that this material offers them. So you see an exploration, in a way, of all of the apparatus of projection. You see really like a going into what does it mean to project luminous images? What is the surface? How can we change that surface? How can we display the projectors or the way in which this mechanics of creating an environment of luminous projections works, you know. So there is an aspect within this that can actually be extraordinarily rich if one does not pit, you know, one medium against the other. If one talks about movement and transformation on the surface, as I like to do, if one really understands that in a way, the way the surface of the screen is changing is also changing the mediums themselves and the relation between them. And so the transformations that can happen and the various new forms of expression that can really be defined on the surface. And you see it also in architecture. You see ways in which canvas, walls, and screens are no longer separate surfaces. You know, very often artists are using canvases as if they were screens. You know, they in a sense project against it or sometimes use screens as if they were canvases to sort of talk about the actual fabric of that material and reproducing it with all kinds of different possible even digital forms. Architects are rethinking the material surface of their walls. They're no longer a tectonic massive thing, but it's becoming as movable, as light as a screen, more like a partition, more in the way in which the surface of the screen was defined in its archaeology and history, which we talked about before. So you see architects, you know, rethinking the interior space of the house in relation to the passage of light and thinking of walls much more like those partitions, those filters of light, those places of passage, as kinds of screens. And then when you think about the way artists are using the screens, you know, with the entrance, in a sense, of computers and iPhones and iPads and the flat screens, the screen has become an object. It's again an architecture. I'm really fascinated by this, is that all of a sudden this thing that nobody thought about, it was just like a white surface that nobody really understood as an architecture or as a frame or as a canvas, is becoming so because of the actual materiality of the screen that has re-become an object we touch, an object that we keep with us, an object that surrounds us in the art gallery or everywhere really we go. So to my mind, you know, this is interesting. I mean, artists are using these screens and thinking again about this as a form of sculpture in motion, as a form of architecture in motion, and sometimes even as a piece of furniture, which is what the screen actually was. You know, so they're hanging in space, they are to be touched, you can go through them. Sometimes they're veils or curtains. I mean, think of screens. They in fact are going back to the materiality and the surface of the screen as it was defined as a window screen. It's like a curtain, you know, a material that filters light. So I see, in a sense, all of this, you know, as an interesting possibilities when you explore surface materiality in the layers of depth of surface and the surface tension of media that can connect and transform and also use them as a form of transformation of different mediums in history.
Juliana, it's been a pleasure talking with you. I think this is not only a fascinating topic, and I hope all the listeners will buy your book, but it's also a wonderful way for artists to look at and explore their process. So thank you so much for being with us today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIVC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.